Welcome back to Corporate Strategy, the podcast that could have been an email. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Clark. And we're all out of whack.
We are out of whack. Craig is not here. We're doing this like the way we used to do things. I'm immediately put on edge. I'm not feeling it. It's already a weird vibe for me.
It's not a good start. I'll tell you that.
It's not.
When you have like technical issues, it just throws us off our game.
It really does. And we didn't even have a topic. We do now. But we didn't have a topic. You know, we were like, it's Thursday. We haven't recorded one of these in forever. I've been sick as a dog.
It's been two weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Since we recorded. Granted, it hasn't been that long since we released the episode. So for the listeners, it hasn't been that long. But for us,
it's been forever.
Like it does. It feels like we haven't talked around corporate strategy in forever.
I had a 101 degree fever for four straight days between our last episode and right now.
That's so brutal.
It is brutal.
Did you figure out what happened? This is your vibe check. You're starting.
No, it was just the flu. I had the flu. Mm. My stomach thing is still undiagnosed, ongoing. Mm. I go back to get checked up in 2 weeks. Hopefully, then I'll know.
Hopefully. That's basically how the whole system works. It's just you go in and they're like, well, I guess we're going to run some tests. And then you like actually cross your fingers that they tell me this. Do you cross your fingers that they find something or don't find something?
I would much rather they find something.
I'm in the same camp with you. Like, I want to know. If they don't know, that actually causes me more concern.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've hit this point in my life now where I just don't care about anything anymore. And it's a good place to be because, one, it doesn't stress me out the way that it used to, because this kind of stuff used to just drive me up a wall. And then I get sick because I think about how much it stresses me out. But now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. I would like to be able to eat normal food again, but I'm going to keep doing this diet and doing the nice thing. You know, I'm not going to let it get to me. Just like everything. I just don't care. I just can't care anymore.
I'm over here dying because I can't tell if these are just the stages of grief you're going through. You're just in the acceptance stage right now. You've just accepted it. And you're like, it is what it is. But it also sounds really mature of you because it feels like you've ascended to a new height.
Yeah.
You're so far ahead of it. You're just like, you know what happens, and I'm going to be fine either way.
That's kind of it, though.
Like, or not fine.
The sun will stay in the same spot. We will rotate around. And then, you know, tomorrow will happen. And, yeah, you can't worry about it. There's nothing that worrying is going to do. So, you know, you just accept it and you live and let live.
Fair enough. Well, you know what? Sometimes a diet is a good thing. I don't know if you're feeling any benefits from it, but sometimes
no.
A change of diet can make you feel good. that's unfortunate.
It's not a healthy diet. I'm not on a healthy diet, Clark. It's like I can't eat vegetables. I can't eat citrus. I can't eat things that are, you know, things that I love that are good for you, like peppers or anything like that. It's a no acid diet. So yes. I'm eating lots of bread and carb and occasional meat.
I like this diet. Can I go on it?
I hate it. I hate it. I love fermented vinegar, you know, like kombuchas, kimchis. Give me your pickles and cabbage that's been fermented in a jar for 18 years. That's what I'm here for. And like not being able to eat that's just like making me sad.
Yeah, that does suck. When it takes away the things you love, makes your life a little bit less exciting, I would say.
Yeah.
A little bit more down than it used to be. That's unfortunate. Sorry to hear that, Bruce. And I hear you coughing. Man, you're just going down a bad trail right now. Hopefully this podcast can lift you up.
The flu is not it takes like 2 full weeks to recover. So the best part about having the flu when you also have like your stomach dying, they can't prescribe you anything. Like they're like, we would give you Tamiflu and you'd get over this in 2 days. But given your current situation, you're just going to have to ride it out. And you can only take Tylenol and Tylenol doesn't work for you. So enjoy your pain. And I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pain. I watched all of Andor while flu-ish. And you know what? It was a good show. I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
You remembered it.
I did. You
know, I have one strategy for when I get the flu because I get it every year, no matter what I do, I can't avoid it. Flu shot usually helps. I've talked about it before. If I remember to get the flu shot, usually does it. But typically my strategy is just NyQuil for like 3 straight days. I just sleep for like a good 19, 20 hours of every single day. I'm out. And it helps.
I wish.
Helps me bounce back.
Wish I could have done it. Couldn't take NyQuil. That sucks. Out of the question. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sorry to hear that, Bruce. And the technical difficulties today, you know, life is just, it's hitting us with a, you know, left hook right to the jaw.
But we're going to we need to apologize ahead of time because I'm going to be coughing and Craig would have gotten rid of the cough. There's no way. It's just going to show up. So this is a rough episode.
Yep. It's going to be a raw. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to make it your Michael Jordan flu game. Sometimes you're just feeling down, but we got to do it for our people. Our Discord server is growing. Our listeners are waiting. They need their corporate strategy tips, and we are here to give it to them, regardless of how we feel.
Yeah, and if you are interested in joining the Discord, you can do so by going to corporatestrategy.biz. That's .biz.
Just prepare yourself. We're going to say that about 20 more times this episode, anytime we get the chance.
Anytime. Join the Discord. Get in there. Get your butt in there right now. It's such a cool place. It's the greatest place on planet Earth.
It keeps growing. It keeps on getting better. I have admittedly been bad at responding in there, but I will get better. I will. I bounced back for a little while in the beginning of the year, and man, you know, the first quarter is over, and I have just failed for the last 30 days at replying to anything.
You fell off hard. let's be real here. You don't even know how to spell Discord anymore.
Don't you worry. I'm going to come back. When Craig's back, I'll be back.
Do you know how to join the Discord, Clark?
Oh, yeah, that's right. If I go to corporatestrategy.biz, that's .biz.
That's right. Or the show notes.
Or the show notes, right. Good to know.
Amazing.
Oh, man. Do we even have news?
We do, actually. Did you see that the first human being to receive the Neuralink implant happened today?
No, did it?
Yeah, paraplegic, had the implant put in, played a game of chess.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Is there a video? You're going to have to link to it.
I think there is. I was just reading an article on it. But obviously there's always everything's political these days. I hate that. I hate that everything has a political. Yeah. I have to, put a hashtag warning up a front because Neuralink, which is not a bad idea, is owned by a questionable person. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue, right? Like it could be the absolute greatest thing for the future of mankind for people who have, paraplegia or any number of other issues that prevent them from using their limbs or, just the convenience of being able to control things with your mind, still tied to Elon Musk.
Yep.
So.
It's true. It's rough. I mean, would you get it?
No.
I would
not unless I needed it.
And obviously I don't need it. I don't have any sort of, disability or inhibiting factor that I would need it for, to stabilize anything or anything like that. But I think I'd get it. I'm one with the robots. What benefit does it bring me right now? Probably nothing. But when it becomes beneficial to me, I might be like, you know what? Put it in my head. I'm ready.
I will get one the second if I log in to play a first-person shooter online and my reaction time has gotten really bad. And Neuralink is like better than my hands at reacting to like, oh, we got to breach the wall and shoot the dude in the head. Then I'll get it if it's faster than my hands. But that's what it's going to take.
That's a very low bar, I feel like.
Dude, my reaction time is great. We've never played games together before because I know you hate my guts. I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
At multiplayer shooters. Yeah.
I mean,
my reaction time's good.
We've been talking in the chat about getting together and doing a hangout. It was suggested by Squid Boy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to see if you actually hold up to that. Because I don't play video games, so I'm just going to openly say I'm going to be god-awful.
Yeah, you will be. You'll be terrible.
And you know
I'll
what?
Destroy you.
I accept that. I accept that for me, and I'm here for it. It's going to be a good time regardless.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a cool technology. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad the people that need it can get it. But it's just one of those things, I'm very curious what the long-term impact of this will be.
I'm trying to think, what would be my pushing factor to get it? Like, what's the bare minimum upgrade for my life?
What if you could just write, take notes, do all of your administrative work by thinking it instead of having to type it or dictate it?
That would be incredible. I think, honestly, that's it. I think if I can think things and it can record that, it's so crazy because there's these things out here that still blow my mind. I've got the whole week off. We're going to get into that in the topic today. But I saw this guy wearing headphones during his workout and nothing was in the ear. And then I remembered, I was like, oh yeah, there's headphones out there that just use vibrations attached to your head that you can hear something and no one else around you can hear it. That's crazy. It blew my mind. I was like, that's around. Why doesn't everything use this? I need to get a pair. But this is another upgrade like that, that it could probably just play music for me to hear and no one else can hear it.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's going to pair very well with things like the vision. Yep. Once that gets better, the privacy of your technology and the interactions with it will, well, I mean, there's no such thing as privacy anymore when everything's connected to the internet, but like your personal space, your physical privacy will be increased.
You know what I don't want though? I don't want to have to like connect it to my devices. It just feels so annoying. Like I have to do that with headphones now, like my AirPods, and it's so annoying to be like, I mean, it's gotten better because of the handoff and whatever between my devices because I'm in the iOS and Apple cult. But still, it's really annoying having to be like, oh, I got to choose my audio input. I guess I'm playing audio here instead of there. Maybe I just want to keep those two things separate. I don't know.
Can you imagine? Well, you're not a gamer, but you know, when I'm PC gaming and occasionally my graphics driver will crash and my whole computer will just go like for, you know, as long as it will do it.
Sounds
really
like
loud in my ears. It truly is. You know what's never had a graphics driver crash? My Steam Deck. Because Linux is the best. But yes, drivers, they're the worst. Regardless, the sound is unbearable. I have to rip my headphones off my head when it happens because it's so awful.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that happening with Neuralink, but you can't turn it off?
And you can't do anything. You can't like tap your head. That's probably what I'd do. If I heard a buzzing noise, I'd probably just start hitting myself in the head and I'd look crazy.
Just the loudest, most piercing noise on repeat. No ability to turn it off. I mean, if it messes with your vision, then you know you can't see anything. You're just a prisoner of this technological implant that now resides in your skull.
Yeah, that's the only downside.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it is.
Maybe the upside's worth it.
I don't know. I think it's got to be... See, the implant is what gets me. If it was a port or something that was like on the surface that you could just rip off at any time. Yeah. It's not so bad. That's not so bad.
I mean, it's like hearing aids. Uh-huh. Like, there's some hearing aids that just sit on the outside of your ear and they're like attached to your head, but you have full control. Like if there needs to be a battery replacement or whatever, it's right there. So you can just do it.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's a little better.
It's not like a pacemaker. It's not keeping you alive. It's adding a quality of life. So exactly. I don't know.
And then there's
time will tell.
You know, a whole bunch of issues with pacemakers in the past of like the early adopters of pacemakers. So maybe don't be an early adopter to this one. But someone's
got to
unless you really need it. Yeah, unless
you really got to need it. You know.
And then you better make sure they have a top tier support plan, and you better bet that thing's going to be on a subscription plan where it's a monthly charge to you.
Oh my gosh. Don't.
And then they're going to start playing ads in your head. Oh my goodness.
You can't close your eyes because it's beamed directly into your retinas. It
says you can't sleep until you pay your subscription fee. Okay, this is getting real dark.
Have you seen that episode of Black Mirror where they play ads and you can't sleep? So I think it's the second episode. It's the second episode of Black Mirror. Oh,
I'll be
so
honest.
Good.
I watched the first episode. I haven't watched it since. I was out.
That's such a great experience. I love that for you.
I literally was like, I'm not watching the show anymore. But I do kind of want to watch the rest. I'm not going to lie.
That would be your Black Mirror experience. Firstly, I love that the first episode of the show is the one that it is. I feel like it just is the perfect first episode. No other episode is remotely like that.
That's what I heard.
And it just brings me so much joy.
It would bring you that joy.
It does. It brings me so much joy.
Now I do kind of want to watch the rest, though, because like the first one I was out, but everyone's always talking about the Black Mirror episodes, and I feel out of the loop. Feel a bit of FOMO.
They're all based on white papers and things that are going to be or already are. The show's old enough now that the things of the future are now things of the present, which is horrifying.
Scary. It is very scary. It's like The Simpsons, but much darker.
Not funny. I mean, The Simpsons aren't funny anymore either. So to be fair, the statement stands, but
yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, thanks for that news. I think I'm out. After further reflection, I think I'm out on being an early adopter for Neuralink.
Good plan.
Yeah.
Good plan. We'll get it together when it's ready. We'll go in, you and me, we'll get the implant at the same time.
I'm in. Let's get a tattoo first, you know? Let's see how we do. Let's get our corporate strategy tattoos. See how we do getting something permanent in our bodies. And then we can try it on and be like, do we love it? Do we hate it? And you know what? If we love it, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah. Agree. Fair.
1 million subs. I think we're going to have to get a corporate strategy tattoo. I just signed
this. 1 million subs. Whew.
A million subs. We got a little while, but we're going to get there.
Ain't get a tattoo this life, so it sounds like. But hey. We got a topic for this week.
We do.
Everything's falling apart. We have the perfect topic. It's spring break.
It is. Spring break.
You're on vacation. I wish I was on vacation.
Spring break.
How do you take a vacation? That's our topic. How it's do you topic. Take a vacation?
I love it. I love it because I'm on it. I'm living it.
You
and
are.
I can give my firsthand reflections. Let's give them a time check. It's Thursday. I've been off since last Friday. So I took most of Friday off. I had to do something in the morning. But other than that, I was like, I'm taking the rest of the day off. So nice. I've been off since last Friday. And now it's Thursday. So we're almost a weekend. It feels good, Bruce. It feels so good.
I'm telling you, I love it. I love not having to work. It's the best feeling in the world. How did you take a vacation?
Man, where did it all start?
Like, you know, what, did you have to request time with somebody?
That's a good place to start, actually. For me, okay, maybe we got to go back. Maybe we got to go back to the early days of when you actually had to put in time. Obviously, before you started a corporate salary job, if you work hourly and your shifts are scheduled, yeah, you got to put in a request. You got to do it ahead of time so they can find someone to cover your position. All that good stuff. But once you get into the salary world, things change a bit. You know, it's not exactly the same as it was previously. Maybe not in every role, but for most roles. You still have to request or at least notify your manager that, hey, by the way, I'm planning to take this vacation ahead of time. But for me, Bruce, I feel like, and I don't know if it's the same for you, I'm at a level now where I don't really ask permission. I just kind of let people know. I'm like, hey, I'm taking this time off because I've scheduled everything around this and this week is the best time for me to take off.
Yeah, same.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I would say, regardless of whether you're salaried on no time off or if you have a more traditional PTO paid time off model where you accrue time, the first tip is plan things out in advance. And the earlier you request time off, the better. The more likely that it gets approved, that everything's going to go the way you want it to, it's on the books. Once it's in the approval process, you know, God can't take it away from you, right? Like, that's just the way that that generally goes.
Yep.
But
generally I have try to seen. Plan it out. You got to plan it out. Like, quarter by quarter, at least. That's what I would recommend. Otherwise, you get into bad spots where either you just forget to take the time, and we'll get to that tip too.
But, or you can't.
Yeah, or you can't, yeah. It's like last minute, and you're like, hey, I want to take next week off. And then you're like, well, we got this big project due, or we have this huge client presentation happening, and you just can't. You can't step out. I think I interrupted you completely. Did you have another tip?
No. I thought you had more there. All good. No, my thought was one thing that I love to do when I request time off is create an Outlook invite for the people I work with that sets their time as free, but it marks me out for whatever the time period is. So they know I'm not here. Don't try to make me here because I'm not going to be.
Yep.
You pair that with the taking of the time off and set your out of office. You are ready to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. You are ready to go.
I actually think that's the best tip that you just gave because it is so annoying when I get an out of office message that just blocks my whole calendar. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing blocking my whole calendar for a week? Now I have to decline your out of office and hope I remember that you're out of the office when just in case I need anything. But you've got to set it to be free.
You can set
different statuses. You do it out of office. You set it to free. And you missed one point, though, Bruce. Then you create another one for just yourself that's out of office. That blocks your calendar. And if anyone tries to book anything, it shows in whatever color it is, pink or purple or whatever. And it lets them know, oh, this person's out of office.
So
you got to do both. There's two invites.
Some platforms will do that for you, which is nice. They will, when you request time off and it's approved, it'll automatically just block your calendar as 000 for however long you've got approved, which I've got right now. And I got to say, I like it.
That's
it's
nice.
Good. Yeah, it is nice.
I like it all.
You still have to set your out-of-office...
message?
Message, yes. The automated reply, which I think leads us into tip space number two, communication during vacation. Just don't do it. Let the out-of-office do the work for you. Best tip I can give you is whoever your person is, the person you feel can fill in for you, put their name front and center in your email. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you need anything, reach out to my good friend Clark Cheddar Movements.
Yep.
Do not bug me. That's end of message right there. Like, keep it short, keep it sweet. Do not give them any additional information which they can bother you. Send them to Clark every time.
Yep. No, that's a great point. Yeah, make sure you have a backup. Make sure you have coverage, especially if you're on like a key project or you work on something that you know people are probably going to reach you out for. Make sure you know who that backup is. And inside you're out of office, the second they respond to that, they're going to get hit with that message. And you can say, hey, yeah, reach out to Clark for this. And for me anyways, I have a few projects, but I have some more senior managers on my team. And I direct everything that's within their domain that goes to their team to them. So I'm like, hey, if it's related to this, reach out to this person. They'll help you out. And so I try to like cascade the different domain areas. And then as a last resort, I put my boss to say, if it's urgent and none of the above apply, reach out to my boss.
Man, you're nice. You're way nicer than I am. I just choose one person. They just become the Bruce, the little Bruce for that time I'm gone. And, you know, that's their responsibility now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a couple different people. It depends on your level of management. But I have a couple like more senior managers that manage other people. And so I don't want to like have 20 people for different projects. I could delegate it to one, but then I have, you know, a bunch of cascading things. So I'm like, oh, yeah, just bring it to them. Generally, I want you to talk to them anyways rather than talking to me. So it kind of trains them anyways. But I like that, though.
Random thought. You know what I hate when I go on vacation and then I come back and people are like, oh, my gosh. Don't ever go on vacation again. We need you here. Oh, it was nightmare last week without you. Like, I know they're trying to be nice, but you've literally just ratcheted up my anxiety because all I can think of is how incompetent people are when I'm not around.
That does stink. Yeah, for me, like, how I know things are going well. We don't need Danny on this. If Danny listened to this, how I know things are going well, I think he actually might appreciate this, is when no one reaches out to me. Because that means my team is doing a good job. That's Dang. How I know.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah, right now, like no one's reached out to me.
Wow. All,
which is
Are you sure
so
they're not going
to
fire
quiet.
You?
I know. I honestly, I had a moment where I'm like, man, they don't need me. This is nice. But for me, I've hit that level of acceptance. And I'm like, if they let me go tomorrow, let it be. Let it be. Yeah. I'm ready.
Oh, I'm so ready to get fired. Oh,
but I think it's also life. Like, I think it's just partially that I've built my team and I trust them to handle things without me. And so it's really nice to see that execute. I love it. So
that
it's
is
honestly
really
the best feeling. And usually it doesn't happen. I'll be honest. This is probably the first out of office I had. I'm knocking on wood because it's end of day Thursday and there's still Friday. So as long as no one reaches out to me tomorrow, that means my team did their job and there was nothing urgent enough where they had to send me a note. So maybe I'll come back to a hellstorm on Monday. I don't know. We'll find out. But I trust my team did a good job. I'm ready.
All right, so here's the question is, do you respond if there's an emergency?
This is always a tough one. Someone did text me just as like an information thing of like, hey, we hired this really cool person. Just wanted to let you know. So like that wasn't a work-related thing. They just wanted to let me know, which I kind of appreciated that they accepted the offer. Man, but yeah, if it's like an emergency that comes up, do you tap in?
Let's we really personally. Need you. You're the only one who can do this. Is it possible for you to step away from your little beach cabana and log into this Zoom call for the next 2 hours and help us out?
Especially when they know what you're doing and they're like, hey, I know you're like in the middle of nowhere and you're on a cruise, but if you could just like get, you know, a small 2G connection and like just respond to this, that'd be great. It depends on the type of vacation, I'd say. If I'm doing like a small vacation like I'm doing now, you know, if something's super urgent, I'd probably hop on to help or just at least guide them in the right direction. I'd be like, hey, you know what? Try doing this instead. If I'm like remote, I'm in another country, I'm, you know, camping, whatever it might be. If I just don't have good connection, I just ignore it. What about you?
That's what sea levels are for, right? Like in all honesty, I'm not even being the remotest bit sarcastic. If it's an emergency, and I'm not here, I'm on a vacation that's been approved, time off, then you need to escalate up, not to me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is the issue. you need to go to a chief, whoever officer is responsible for this thing, and get their eyes on the situation, or they will find someone to get eyes on the situation. There's right. no acceptable reason unless you are, and that's the thing, like that's the C-level contract, right? C-levels don't get private time off. They right. are always expected to be able to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the agreement, why you get paid so much money. So no, under no circumstances. You could literally say, I'm going to fire you if you don't come on the call. I'll be like, hey, it's my vacation, fire me. Like, I ain't joining your Zoom call. Take it up with the execs. That's the agreement. And I will die before I give up that agreement.
Okay, let me give you another situation. Let's say it's your own team. Someone uh-huh. you've hired. Someone that's underneath your wing. And they're like, listen, Bruce, I really need you. The server's melting down. The matrix is happening. I need you. You just got to log in and review this. And then once you review it and you hit okay, life is going to be good. You're going to save the world. Would you do it?
I would respond, I trust you to figure it out yourself.
I love it. What if you're the only person that has access to the server?
You've That's got a mistake code. That was made beyond my capability. I would never make my own. I would never put myself in that position where I'm the only person who could do the thing. Now, I will say there's definitely times when I'm the only person who can do the task.
Yep.
But that task shouldn't have happened if everyone knew I was going to be on vacation in the first place. Mm-hmm. So, again, no. If it's my team and they're floundering, I trust them. They need yep. to make the decision themselves. Put on the big boy pants, big girl pants. Go get it. But
You're hitting tip yeah. number three for me, which is in a corporate environment, it's good to make yourself replaceable and set other people up to do things. Sure, you know, hoarding information, job security, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, they're going to replace you. You know, if you leave, they're going to find someone else to do the job. You're not going to be the linchpin to the whole company, more than likely. So make sure that you've got redundancy. You know, other people can jump in and do the task if they absolutely need to and nothing's going to burn down. If you are hesitant to like go on out of office because you're like, well, I'm the only person that can do this thing, that's a problem.
There's a huge
You need
problem.
To fix that problem. Otherwise, you're always going to feel that stress, that anxiety. You're never going to be able to take time off. Don't do it to yourself. It's not worth it in the corporate world.
Have you heard the stories of where they will fire people and then realize how important that person was and then have to rehire them for like 4x their salary?
Yep.
That needs to be like the vacation agreement. Is if yep. you bug me on vacation, I won't do it unless you are willing to give me 4 times as much vacation for the rest of the year.
It's a negotiation.
Yeah, that's the only way I'd do that. Yeah. Ooh, let's turn this 1 week into 4, shall we? Then I'd do it in a heartbeat. But yeah.
But I think you should set up those rules. Like if your manager calls you and they're like, Bruce, I need you to get off vacation and start doing this thing now. You know, if you truly are able to do that thing because you're not on a remote island, you know, drinking margaritas by the water with no cell service, and you can do it, sure, you know, do it. But let them know. Be like, hey, you know, I'm separating from my family to go do this right now. I expect that I will be compensated or, you know, get additional vacation time because this is interrupting my vacation plans. And if they say no, you're just in a bad culture area, right? Alternatively, just ignore it. You know, and then they can't, you can be like, sorry, I didn't have any access to, you know, the internet, so I couldn't help you out. And if they fire you over that, you could sue the company. Like,
you really can.
I literally couldn't do anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they can't stop you, you know, from making that case. So just remember that.
They chose to give you the time off.
Right.
At the end of the day, like, they proved it. They knew you weren't going to be here, and they continued to make bad decisions while you were gone.
Exactly.
Like, I think vacation is one of the best sniff tests to a bad corporate culture. You will mm-hmm. quickly find whether you work for a good or bad place based on how people treat you when you're not in office.
Right.
No better way to determine a planned exit.
It's so true. Yeah, that can really push you over the edge. But yeah, you've got to use that time up. You know, even if you have, you know, unlimited time off or whatever, it's there for a reason. You know, the reason why we have those days, you got to recoup, you got to recover. It's super important you take the time, especially if yours, like mine, is not unlimited. Technically, it is accrued, but I have a ton just because I don't take a ton of time off. But let me tell you, taking this week, I've just been like, man, I need to do this more often. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, generally the rule of thumb is like 3 weeks a year, right? If you're right. A normal functional environment. Now, if you're lucky and you work for a place that has seniority and tenure, you can get a lot more. Do you realize, Clark, if we had stayed at our original place and they kept PTO, if I was still there right now, I would get basically 2 months off a year.
Yep. Man, that policy was wild.
It was wild, but it was such a good reward for loyalty. And dang, I would have loved to have... I mean, in all honesty, I would take a huge pay cut to go back to that. 2 months a year.
Yeah, that's impressive. It's awesome. Well, I mean, it speaks to loyalty too. Like, you think about who was around us. We had a lot of people who were there for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years.
Why wouldn't you?
You don't see that now.
No.
I'll be honest. Like, every company that I've been to after that company, it's very common, like, 2 years, 3 years, sometimes even less, that people are hopping mm-hmm. around. It's rare to find anyone that's been there over five.
Yeah. I mean,
crazy.
And it makes sense, too. It's just, you know, there's not a reward for loyalty anymore.
Right.
Vacation is like the one thing you get outside of your salary and your benefits. It's like, yeah, you can take some time off. And how your company respects that is very telling.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing I would – one last tip I got. Don't tell them what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If you request time off, do not tell them why. Firstly, it's your right to take vacation.
Right.
What you do on vacation is your own private business. But – me personally, I take a lot of time. When I take time off, it's usually just to kind of chill out at the house, maybe play some video games I wanted to catch up on. There's a new one coming out tomorrow. I honestly thought about taking the day off, and I was like, I've been sick too much. I won't abuse the amount of time I've been gone. Don't tell them. And the reason is different vacations get treated differently. If you're doing some abroad travel, or you're going to some little hut in the middle of the mountains where you're going to stay and do a nature bath for a week – for whatever reason, people respect that more than I'm taking a few days to lay on the couch and watch The Simpsons. You know, like, they will break the contract with option two before they'd ever do option one.
Absolutely.
And that's not right. All vacation is equal in the eyes of corporate, and it should be treated as such. So don't tell them.
How do you respond if someone asks, what are you doing for vacation? Tell me, Bruce.
Oh, I'm just taking some time for me. It's personal. You know, we might go do some things.
I like that. And then it's even better when you just wait a while before responding. Most of the time, people are going to figure it out. Like, give it a day. Give it 2 days sometimes. I did that for a message someone sent me about the hiring. I just waited 2 days. I was like, I don't need to respond to this now. I saw it. But I'm like, there's no point. Like, cool. Like, I appreciate that they sent that to me. It's good to know. And then I respond 2 days later. I'm like, hey, you know, it's great news. Thanks for sending me that note. But then it also sets the precedent of, like, I'm not going to answer immediately when I'm on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually will uninstall apps from my phone, like Outlook and Slack. Just get rid of them. I know you can set up Do Not Disturb and all that, but, like, nah, that's
honestly
more work. I'm just going to delete the app.
Turn off notifications. Like, when you're on vacation, you don't need the stress of, like, oh, I saw this email coming. I got to, like, go on and check it. Like, this information, I've got to be, like, one of the first to know. It's like, just don't do it to yourself. It'll be there when you get back. I actually had to tell someone on my team that. I was like, they kept on responding to things when they were out of the office. And I was like, listen, it's going to be there. It's going to be okay. Like, no one's going to take it away from you. And as a manager, and I'm curious in your thoughts, Bruce, it's like, if my team's doing that, I really want to understand why. Like, why do you feel the need? Are you missing someone on your team? Do you feel like, you know, your position's at risk? Like, I really want to understand that as your manager, why you can't just get disconnect and take the time off and feel comfortable with it.
I don't know if fear.
You feel the same way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fear thing. They've either come from a bad culture, or they're, you know, they might be in a not so great culture. So they feel the need that, oh, if I let this go unresponded, it's a negative reflection on me. It's also, again, why it's so important to do that pre-work with the vacation. Make sure you have those automatic replies set up. Show yourself as out of office on your calendar. Do it on Slack too. Do it on whatever platforms allow you to do that. So they know you're not being a bad employee. You're on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, because for me, you know, with that employee, I need to go back and tell them, like, hey, you know, why did you feel like you need to keep responding? I literally had to cut someone off one time a couple years ago. I was like, listen, don't reply to anything else. If I see you replying to things, I'm going to put it on your performance review. And I said it, like, jokingly. But in all seriousness, I was like, you need to take the time off. You've been working too hard. Take the time. If you're going to have an out of office, be out of office.
I mean, that is, that on, in all honesty, I think that's worth putting on the performance review if they didn't do it, right? Yeah. Like, it's bad behavior. And what it does is it creates a culture where their coworkers will see that and think, well, I have to do this too.
Right.
Because, you know, Jane's over there doing this, so I guess I have to be responsive as well.
That's a really good point.
You got to nip that in the bud as soon as it shows its ugly little face, because it can quickly infect the rest of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some, like, corporate strategy hardos would be like, well, you know, you want them to keep working hard. So you don't want to encourage it, but don't shoot it down because you want to keep the ambition up. It's like, no, no, no. It has broader implications, like what you're saying, Bruce. It actually hurts the culture more. I 100% agree with that, because then everyone feels like they have to do it. And they shouldn't have to. There's a reason time off is there. I love that. It's a great
thing. Yeah. And if the corporate sickos say, oh, well, they just want to work hard. They're doing the grind, the hustle. That's the worst possible thing you can do to yourself, because you need to recharge. It's right. Mentally good for you. It's physically good for you. There's no reason not to step away from work. I mean, it's sad. In America, we get like some of the least amount of vacation on the planet. You look at some other countries and how much time they get off, and it is disgusting how little we have.
Yep.
This is your chance to recharge, to step away, to like have some mental health improvements and clarity. To break that agreement and to do more work, all you're doing is damaging yourself and your performance and throughput you're going to have for the rest of the year.
Yep, I agree. I have one last piece before we cut it. How do you handle the following week? You know, you're going to come into emails. You probably don't really remember what's on your calendar for Monday. I'm like, I don't really remember. You know, do I have a packed day? Do I not have a packed day? I'm not going to check. But how do I prep for it? What are your tips?
You don't want to hear my number one tip, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. If my name is not in the to, and it's not the first word in the email, like, Dear Bruce, if that's not there, I delete the email.
Really?
All of them.
Ah.
And here's why. Because whatever it is, firstly, if it's not like tracked in Jira or something, emails get lost all the time. But secondly, they will come back to you when they remember it's important. And you can say, yeah, sorry, I got that on vacation. It got caught up in my filter. No big. I'll address it now. Let it come back to you in time when it's appropriate for it to. Don't just go through 700 emails and try to do them all. All you're going to do is undo all of the good that happened over the last week. Mm. Delete them. Get rid of them unless it's addressed to you directly. That'll just cut down the number tremendously.
I think of it as like when you're coming off like an injury or something like that, like you don't just jump in. Like let's say you like tear your ACL. You don't like jump in and just start doing like 500-pound squats. It's the same thing with work. If you jump in and you just tackle everything the first day, you just spent all that energy you just recouped before the week even started. It's like now you have no balance.
Yep.
Now you're just jumping into the same mess you were before, and you're going to need vacation even faster. You're just going to feel that urge that you need that time off. I think time off is a really good time to reflect on your balance. Like I think before you get back, you'd be like, man, how is my work life? Like, do I need to step back a little bit? Do I need to, you know, take it easier, work less hours, whatever it is? And then when you come back, remember that and be like, okay, what do I need to do starting today to set those things up that I need to for my life to be a little bit happy, a little better?
Yep.
And I think that's what you got to do when you get back is be like, okay, there is, just accept it. There's going to be a ton of emails. There's going to be a ton of meetings and stuff. And you can only do what you're one person. You can only do what you can do, to your point. I like the idea. Like I try to use the getting things done that I kind of cruise through my email. I archive everything into folders. So I use like keyboard commands to go through it super fast. And I do the same thing you do. I'm like, if it's not addressed to me, then I'm archiving it to something else because it's probably not that urgent. And I'm like, okay, if it's directly addressed to me, I basically go through, I scrub it first for exactly what you're saying. Archive everything that's not addressed to me. I don't even read anything else. Then after I just narrow everything down to what's actually addressed to me, that's when I go through and actually read it. I'm like, okay, what is this thing? Okay, got it. You know, I'll put it in my working system, whatever I need to do next. What's the next action? So I try to do that layer by layer. Get rid of the fluff. Then you narrow it down to the things you actually need to pay attention to. Find whatever the action is. Put it on the to-do list. Plan out your week. Life will be good.
Yep. Don't try and take a sprint first day back. And here's the thing. It's like the work is going to have to get done eventually. Let it get done in its natural course. When someone reminds you about it and says, hey, see that email? It's like, no, can you resend that to me? I was on vacation. It got buried. everyone understands that emails get buried on vacation. So it's not something that you need to stress yourself out about. The work will get done regardless. It always does.
Definitely agree with that. Great tips.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed your vacation, Clark.
It's great. I'm going to come back stronger than ever. Well rested.
I love it.
The next episode, I mean, even now, like, you're dying, you need a vacation. Me, on the other hand, I'm flying sky high.
Yeah. I don't think I'm getting a vacay until about May. I think May is going to be it. Do a little anniversary thing.
A little while away. It's not too far.
Yeah. It's not too far, but it feels far. It feels pretty far. We'll get there. It'll be good. It's fine. I really don't care, so it doesn't matter anyway. I'm good. Are you good, Clark?
I'm great.
Oh, great. That just makes my life that you're doing great. So, hey, I don't think there is no memes, right?
There might have been one meme.
Yeah, but there was a meme that was made for Papa Yonk, so we can't. Yeah,
we can't do that. I agree.
Can't do that. No memes. That's fine with me. Like I said, I'm easy, either way, easy come, easy go. Hey, Clark, if they wanted to submit a meme, though, how would they do that?
There's only one way.
There's it's only one strategy. Way.
.biz.
That's our website. But if they wanted to...
You join the Discord.
Okay. Oh, I was worried there for a second.
The .biz. You can do it. You can join Discord in so many ways. Show notes, website, newsletter. There's 100 different ways. If you can't figure it out by now, what are you doing? Why are you still listening? Especially if you made it this far in the episode and you still haven't joined the Discord. What are you doing? Because if you made it this far, holy cow, you're committed.
First time listener who found this episode because of SEO is like, man, these guys are cruel. Hey, there might be ads on this episode as well. In fact, I think there are because I accepted them before we started recording. If you want to help us get rid of that, you can actually support the show. It's completely funded by us right now. And by us, I mean me. Just if you want to make it a listener funded show, we're not opposed to that. It does cost about $20 a month to run this. And we do it out of the goodness of our hearts. But if you want to support us, you can do so by going to the show notes or corporatestrategy.biz, that's .biz, and buying us a coffee through those links. Super easy to do. The money goes directly to us, and we put it directly back into paying for the show. So
we do.
If you want to support it, that's how you do that. And if you can't, then it's totally fine. What you could do is share this with your friends. If you found the show via search or whatever, think of how hard it is to find good content these days. Now, think about how much easier it would be if you just took the time to share corporate strategy with a loved one.
They have time off. Always. If you have someone that has time off coming up, this is a perfect episode for them. Let them know, hey, before you go on time off, maybe listen to this episode. Or if you're planning time off and you just loved it, share it with your friends. We always share the good content. You can request topics inside of the Discord channel that you can find by going inside the show notes or going to corporatestrategy.biz. That's B-I-Z. And you can find the link and join. And then you can ask us to talk about anything. Even if you throw out something totally random and ridiculous, we'll probably talk about it.
That's so true. And you can do that at corporatestrategy.biz. That's .biz. It stands for business, which we're in the business of making podcasts. So don't ever forget, corporatestrategy.biz.
.biz.
Is that everything? I'm good. I'm done. Are you done?
Well, we have a newsletter, actually. We forgot to talk about that.
You did. If you did not mention it, though.
Did I mention the newsletter? You can sign up for the newsletter at corporatestrategy.biz. And you just enter in your email. And every single time we publish a new episode, you will get an email about it. And you'll know. And you can go in there. And it will deep link you right into your podcast provider of choice. And you can listen to that episode right away.
I love it. I had no idea. I had no idea that you could get to the newsletter by going to corporatestrategy.biz. The biz stands for business. Wow. Wow. Mind blowing.
Can we say we're a business when we make no money?
I think many do. I think many do. It's tax write-off, which I should really be doing that. Think of how much money a year I could be writing off of my taxes. Dude.
At least a couple dollars.
Yeah. I mean, all the money I dump into this thing that we get none back, that's anyway, lessons learned every episode, both for you and for us. Thanks as always for being a listener. Thanks for joining us in the Discord. If you're in there, and if you're not, get in there by going to our website. It's corporatestrategy.biz. Join the Discord through there. And remember, make it a brain dump. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Clark.
And you're on mute. We'll see you next week.